Bobby, come on. Thank you. Thank you. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. I am glad y'all are here. I'm glad I'm here. Amen on that one. And I cannot believe last night I called Brother Bell by his first name. Y'all, I got back to the hotel room and I walked in, was, you know, putting everything away. And I'm sitting there going, did I call him, you know, that name? And I said, and the doo-wops. Is that what I said? I, Father, please forgive me for I have sinned. And I am so sorry. Yeah, that look says it all. But so anyways, hey, it was going to be a good morning. I have exactly 40 minutes to be done. And I'm looking at that clock and it says 10:20. And this is no joke. 40 minutes, because I promised I would be done to myself at 11 o'clock to give Brother Jenkins plenty of time. So you say, why? Because I'm hungry. And so we've already ordered the Starbucks in, right, Brother Jenkins? We've ordered it. The order is on its way. I'm so sorry the rest of you cannot drink during church, but we can. I got to figure it this way. If everybody else can take a break during their work shift, this is our break. Amen? And so anyways, take your Bibles. Go to the book of Ephesians. And I feel like that I'm slaughtering sacred cows for these 2 days. Yesterday we slaughtered the sacred cow of standards. And I was telling one of my friends, I think I've slaughtered so many sacred cows that we just need to hold a great big Texas barbecue. And so if you'll let me, and I asked Brother Bell if I could go first this morning, just because it's going to be more instructional and informational. I love preaching. I love just to rear back and preach. And I'm glad that God gave preachers leeway when he said by the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness to where we could just turn loose, preach up a storm, and just let be what's going to be. Now, there's some craziness that happens during preaching that people cross lines and you just look at it and say, okay, is this a comedy show? Is this a circus? Or is this preaching? But I truly, this morning, I love teaching. I love taking God's word and exegeting it to a point to where people walk away and just go, okay, that made sense. I hope it's the same way this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. I started reading the, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know what we're going to be discussing this morning. You know that this was a truth that was given to me as a teenager. And it truly was one of those things that just absolutely helped me. I didn't realize how much it was a needed truth in our lives. And God, I ask that you would help me this morning. Help me not to be anything other than lifting you up and lifting your mind and spirit up through your word. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my good friends texted me and said, could you give me what would be the reason that you strayed a little bit in your teenage years? My response to him was very simple. It was twofold. One was my friends. My friends had such a hold on me that they truly were that influence. It's never what happens to you, it's who happens to you. The Bible's very clear, who hath bewitched you? Who did hinder you? It's not an inanimate object that just rests alone. It's when somebody picks up that object and uses it in such a way and gives it to you that you use in your life. The second thing that I truly believed influenced me was my music. My music had such a hold on me that I received from my friends. I didn't know that kind of music existed until my friends said, now y'all kind of hang on, have you heard this 8-track? Brother, going to baseball practice when I was a sophomore in high school, when I got to a sophomore, my sophomore and junior years when I really struggled, I can remember getting in a Mustang, going to baseball practice, and my friend Mark was sitting in the driver's seat, and my parents back then were very liberal. When I say liberal, I'm just meaning their boundaries were huge as far as trust with my friends that maybe hindsight says shouldn't have been there. My parents would agree with me. But after school, we throw the baseball stuff in the back. We're headed to baseball practice. And my friend takes out of his console an 8-track. And it was an 8-track. And I won't tell you what the group was because that'll date me even further. But it was an 8-track. First time that I'd ever seen an 8-track. First time. And I looked at him and said, why do they call it 8 tracks? And 8-track, and he looked at me like I was an idiot, big red truck, and said, because there's only 8 songs on it. I would name it 8-track too. So how many have never seen an 8-track in action? How many have never seen an 8? Oh my! How many have seen an 8-track in action? Yeah, it's a box, y'all. It's a thick box. You know, think about, take your iTunes, confine it to 8 tracks. You'd be carrying stuff like this. And so you take the box out of your console and you plug it in, and then all of a sudden you can flip between the tracks if you had a sophisticated 8-track player. If not, you were stuck to have to listen to all 8 tracks. My very first time to be introduced to bad music was with an 8-track. I fell in love with it. The beat, the rhythm, the floating, y'all straighten up your halos. It was like, oh yeah. So when I came to grips with my music, somebody sat down and took Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through verse number 21. They said, Bob, if you will read this grammatically, then you will find out that God in his infinite wisdom put the punctuations where it needs to be. Look at the grammatical explanation of what God gives. What's the grammar punctuation at the end of verse 18, please? Semicolon. What is the punctuation at the end of verse 19? What is the punctuation at the end of verse 20? What is the punctuation at the end of verse 21? A period. So God said, when I give you your Bible in the English language, I am going to give you a complete thought with independent sentences. I'm telling you, if y'all get a break during the middle of preaching, I'm getting my break during the middle of preaching. So I get 15 minutes, I get a 2-minute break here, about 15 minutes from right now, and I'm going to take a break. And y'all thought I was kidding. I'm not kidding. And by the way, if a text comes in while I'm preaching, I'm just going to be like the average church member. I'm just going to glance at the text and drink and my team's, ESPN's going to send me an update, and that's more important than me preaching the word to you. So that way we can all be on the same page. So if my watch goes off, I will check. And okay. So grammatically, when you look at it, that is funny. I'm not going to do it, but that is funny. Grammatically, when you look at it, you have to understand that God said in verse 18, and let's kind of look at it grammatically, because it becomes a production. It becomes a manufacturing. So get in your mind a building with the raw materials coming in on this end, going through a conveyor belt, it's being assembled, and then it produces something on this end. The product comes out here. Most people, when they preach about music, they preach in terms of this. If you keep listening to music, you will become. My sermon this morning is this. You are right now the kind of music you have been listening to. And if you don't like you right now, to some degree, to a greater degree than what you realize, it just could be the music you're listening to. So the manufacturing goes like this. And be not drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be ye what? Filled with the what? Spirit. So to the degree that the Spirit is controlling you and you are filled. Now, understand this. You have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. The second blessing that people talk about is more should be termed like this, the second yielding,
yeah, that'd be good.
The third yielding,
right.
The fourth yielding. The only reason somebody all of a sudden gets this burst of spiritual power is because they had a burst of yielding to that spiritual power. You know, sometimes we get mad when the lights don't work. Well, how about reach up and flip the switch on, the lights will work. And that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. So the more you are filled with the Spirit, or the more you just flip the on switch and you let Him fill you, then you will produce the right kind of music. Because look what it says there in verse number 19, speaking to yourself. The issue is not what kind of music are you listening to. The issue is what kind of music are you producing? You see, we have thrown ourselves in the middle of a pit and we feel like, well, we're at the mercy of all this music. No, 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 no. I create the music I'm going to listen to, and I determine what kind of music I'm going to speak and what kind of music. Let me tell you something. You need to stop being at the mercy of every music that comes down the pike and say, well, I just have to accept it. No, no. When you are spirit-filled, you are making more music than you are listening to. Because the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. So this first is the raw material. If you are spirit, take over who I am, then the next thing that will be produced right after is the fact that music becomes a big part in your life. There is the preaching of the word, but then there is the singing of the word. Did you see what happened to everybody when they were singing the trio, Come Home? Brother, it was like a breath of fresh air. And then all of a sudden, Carla got up and sang. And we sit here and we go, wow. And then you add to that the preaching of God's word. And all of a sudden you're like, wasn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Want to know why? Because we flip the switch and let the Spirit take control. And then all of a sudden you are going to walk away making melody in your heart with the music you just heard. Unfortunately, I continued singing. Why? Because the Spirit came in. I then deposited that. I now am making music that spoke to my heart. And then look what the product is of a Bob Gray on this end. 20 and 21. Look what it says there. Giving what?
Thanks.
Oh. Look at verse 21. What's the first word? So can I tell you something? If you right now are, first of all, unthankful, then I would ask you to go back and look at your music. Because your music is a direct reflection of who you are right now. You see, we wonder for years, is it me that makes them ungrateful? No, 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 no. It's what you've been soaking your spirit in that is making you unthankful. When's the last time you thanked somebody? When's the last time you were just thankful for everything? People who are overly thankful, I promise you that in their spirit, they're producing music on a continuum that is about the grace of God, that is about the fact that He did this for me, and I can't believe you did this for me, and I am soaking in this music, which brings out just a thankful. Thank you for this. Thank you for the New Bible. And thank you for everything you get. Thank you for the Starbucks. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you very much that you picked me up from the airport. And sometimes people go, okay, what is going on? I was preaching with a preacher and I told him I was going to use it. And I hope he's tuning in because he needs to get out of the ministry or change his music. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I was preaching with a man and we pulled up to a hotel, brother, to preach. Picked us both up from the airport, pulled up to a hotel to preach. And the preacher got out to go make sure the room. He said, can you believe they're putting us in this dump? Brother Jenkins. I was like, what? Don't you think we deserve better than this? I was like, where does that come from? The next day, I'm a walker and a runner. And I had my earbuds in. Well, he was a walker and a runner, but his jack came out of his.
Whoops.
And brother, what was being played on the other end, I said, that's why you're unthankful. You can't soak and seethe in unthankful music that says it's about me. It's about what I get. I hope the Holy Ghost of God right now is making you go through your iTunes account and your genre of music, because my friend, if you are soaking, then no wonder you're unthankful.
Yeah, that's right.
What is the second thing that comes out? Not only you're thankful, but you're submissive. There's a yielding. There's a, God, what do you want me to do? That's why the average invitation in the average church, we are fighting in 2 hours music you've been listening to for 7 days. And have you noticed that the responders to truth, if you check their music, There's a reason why they come ready to submit to what God wants, and other people come. Because if we believe this book, then those who are spirit-filled, which is not a boastful statement, it just means, Lord, I want you to take so control of me, and then I'm going to have the right kind of music, because I just want to be thankful and grateful. But then, Lord, I want to yield to what you want me to do. Anybody bring with them a bottle of water? I'm not thirsty. I just want to use it. Do you have a bottle of water down there? Can I show you what submitting we think it is? We think submitting is, there's lipstick on there. John. Okay. We think submitting, watch this, watch both my hands, is agreeing on a subject. That's not submitting. We think submitting is when the leader adjusts to the follower. That's not submitting. Watch my hand. Submitting is when the follower submits to the leader, when it's not palatable to do so. And what we're expecting our leader, and that's why when some parents say, well, they listen to the wrong kind of music, but we have such a better relationship. You know what you're telling me? You have compromised your stand for the sake of getting along. I got 25 minutes, and I'm going to tell you right now, I get a break here in about 5 minutes, and y'all can go to the bathroom while I take a break. But I'm going to tell you that if you walk through this text, God, there is no accident. So the attitude that comes is a reflection of the music you're listening to. And music is a discerner. Is it just a bad day, or do you got rebellion in your heart? So I want you to go with me. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 22. And while you turn there, I'm going to take a mini break. Y'all think I'm kidding? No. See who the Cowboys picked up a little bit. Ezekiel Elliott in jail again. All right, here we go. Look at 1 Samuel 16, 23. This is amazing to me because of the fact that you have two men, one situation duplicated two times, but with two different outcomes. Look at 1 Samuel 16, 23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. We're not going to discuss the inner workings of that phrase right there. That took, just suffice it to say, Saul had a bad day. That David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was, what's the next word? Refreshed. And was what? Well. And the evil spirit what? I sit on the platform every single Sunday, and when we stand up to start singing, there are people who come in that they come in with a downcast look, but as soon as that music gets going and as soon as it gets going, guess what? All of a sudden their spirit is refreshed. You know what they just told me? I just had a bad day. Would somebody just play the harp? I mean, haven't we all been that way? I mean, you can't walk through the mud of the world. You don't want the world and you're so tired, but when you come in, you hear about God's grace and you're like, oh my, that's what music does. So it's a discerner as I break my neck. And oh, if I'm on the job, I need an accident report, please. So hope you have workman's comp. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6. I should have brought my iPad. I could have really got into ESPN. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6. Same two men, same music, different heart. 1 Samuel 18, 6, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets of joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000. And Saul was very what? Wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s and to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more than the kingdom? Look at verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit came from God, came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a what? javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall. I know this, that when I start playing godly music and it cranks up in the house of God, and if a Christian can sit all the way through the music and still be like this, then it's not a bad day, it's a bad heart. But you know what we've done? We have lowered the music to the standard of the people for the sake of a good response, rather than keep the music godly and keep it Christ-like, and let your music of your church and your home tell you if it's a bad day or a bad heart. That's why when you get in your car, play music with your children. Play music in your house. And if that music and the strumming of that heart can't pick up a day, then mom and dad and pastor and youth pastor, you've got great insight into this one thing. Something's wrong. Because all Christians that are spirit-filled will be attracted to the right kind of music, and the right kind of music will produce a submissive and a thankful spirit. Let's back up. Verse 19, making melody in your heart. I want you to picture melody, if you will, not as a girl from high school, but if you'll picture melody as a bucket of things that you soak stuff in. Spanish people, Romano, pneumonia. And I went to a Spanish gathering, and they were cooking. And I walked up to a 5-gallon bucket, and there were like 3 of them there. I said, hey, what's your buckets? He said, well, that's our meat. I'm like, what do you mean it's your meat? They went to the Mexican store and got skirt steak, and they were soaking it in this concoction. He said, and then we're going to take it out, and we are going to put it on the grill. He said, 3 things are going to happen. Number one, it's going to be an incredible smell. Number two, everybody's going to gather around to smell it. And then number three, there'd be like a bunch of pigs and they're going to want to eat it. I said, I have never seen a 5-gallon bucket with that much meat in it. It was soaking. And then when it hit the fire, it gave off this wonderful smell. When you put your earbuds in your ears, you, my friend, are soaking in something. And that's why when the preaching gets cranked up and we take you out of that bucket and we put you on the grill, it is either a foul smell of selfishness and non-yielding, or it's a sweet savor to God of submissiveness and thankfulness. Fire brings out what you've been soaking in. Any situation that you can't be thankful for, and any situation that you can't be submissive in, is because you've been filling your heart with unsubmissive music. Because you have not let the Spirit take total control. The more control you have by the Spirit, the more attracted you are to the right kind of music, you soak in that music, and the more it makes you submissive and thankful. Bob Gray knows that he is not submissive to the Spirit when the first line of a Beach Boys song makes my heart do this rather than do this. Y'all straighten up your halos. Because music is truly where you're at. And it just dawned on me that I have a stirrer in my ear. The melody. Dadgummit. And it just dawned on me. I said a bad word in the pulpit. I'm sorry. It's an East Texas word. Now this is where y'all better buckle your seatbelts, because I don't mean to make you mad on purpose. I'm going to do it on accident and then claim I did it on accident. So if your attitude is a result right now, your attitude is a result of the music that you've been soaking in, then the thing you've got to ask you about the music you're soaking in, and I really am tired of people saying, but it has Jesus in it. And it draws me so closer to the Lord. May do that. But there's one word that we have to take into account, and that is the word singing. I want you to underline the word singing. That is the performance of the music you've been listening to. If you are the performer, think about this. So if God is filling me, the subject matter here is not the music you listen to, it's the music you make. So I am to be so full of the Spirit that I am making the right kind of music in here. Okay, I'm making the right kind of music, which produces the right kind of Bob. But now I have to take into account that if I'm Spirit-filled, I'm not only attracted to the right kind of music, but I go much deeper than that. I want to know the performer.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's good.
Could I call you hypocrites at the very first and then back up and qualify my statement? Y'all are hypocrites. Hypocrites. And here's why. If you found out Brother Jenkins and I studied from the ESV.
Yes, sir.
If you found out Brother Jenkins and I skipped church on Sunday,
yes,
to rest up to come preach today, if you found out we were going to movies, if you found out that we personally had no standards,
yes, sir,
you wouldn't come listen to us preach.
Yes.
Then why don't you hold your artist to the same standards you hold your preachers to? It is unfair for us to battle the artist you are listening to. That's not fair because we play it straight. We live our life blameless. We try to be men of integrity. We try to be Spirit-filled. We try to do it right. But yet you got artists that are singing about this book and singing about our Savior, that they're not holy, they are not living holy, but you let their voice take the Word of God and let it infiltrate you. That's not fair. You need to go through your artist, my friend, and if you couldn't have them stand behind this sacred desk and sing it, then what are you doing letting them in your ear and in your mind and in your heart? The other day, somebody brought to me the newest bass voice in the Southern Gospel market. And they brought to me and they said, Workman's Comp, that's twice. They gave Ezekiel the death penalty. Okay, all right. Somebody brought to me the artist and they said, listen to him sing How Great Thou Art. And I said, you know, what a wonderful song. So I took my laptop and I Googled his name. Do you know how he got his start? On a talent show called The Voice. You know what kind of Bible he reads from? The ESV. Would you do us a favor? Either get over to that side and become totally liberal, or cut out your artists that are not living the way they're singing. And don't you ever go listen to, don't you ever get mad at a preacher. Oh, I just can't believe he gets up and preaches a sacred word and he lives that way. I can't believe that you are soaking for hours with artists. That are getting their inspiration from a corrupt word and a corrupt lifestyle. And then you have people who transition into other genres of music, but you're hooked on the artist so much that now you think, well, you know, they got a good heart and they're just... I got to hurry because I can smell the cow and the barbecue. So look at verse number 19. All music should have three elements in it. When I changed the way I looked at it, I knew that my attitude was a factor. That was an indicator of my music. The music I was attracted to was an indicator for me that either I was letting the Spirit control me or not. Then I decided the music I will soak in, and by the way, I'm a music listener too, and you are not a true connoisseur of music if you don't listen to it as loud as you can get it. Am I right? Put the stinking earbuds in and float through. I want to hear them go, oh, yes. I want to be able to say they had a nasal passage blockage in their passage. Y'all, it's like consuming to me. Yeah, I walk and run a lot. Let me tell you something. I'll get so lost. I was lost in my music yesterday in Walmart. And I'm just, you know, I'm in. I am so in. Five rows back.
Well, come on.
I remember it well. Well, it got to the five rows back. I remember it well. I'm acting the song out as I'm walking through Walmart. Turn the corner and there's somebody from Columbus that knows me. And all of a sudden it's like, Brother Bob, I saw them out, but I can't hear them. I'm listening to the, I pulled out the earbuds and I said, she said, are you okay? I was like, yes. She said, is Anchor making you do your own shopping? I said, no. Anyways, but all music should have three elements in it, and I've got to hurry because I have 11 minutes before my shift is up. In verse number 19, what does it say? Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms, hymns, and what? Go to Psalms 19. A Psalms is exactly what it says. The song that they sang last night came from Psalms 3. So all your music should have one of these three elements, or they should have two, or they should have all three. If they don't, and it's not sung by an artist that's living the life, I don't listen to it. Psalms 19, verse 7. How many know this for a little kid? How many? Oh, Brother Connor, this is a First Baptist. When Dad was going to Hiles Anderson, they introduced this song at First Baptist. I was just second, third grade at Hammond Baptist. But when I can remember when Dr. Hiles got up and he said, hey, we're going to learn a song. And Brother Broadway is what, but John, never mind. And you tell what kind of music I've been listening to. And Brother Broadway got up and said, take it. This became a great favorite. Now, verse 10 is the chorus, and verse 7, 8, and 9 are the verses. So we'll start on the chorus, if you know it. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, they much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So if you'll circle Psalms, that is God to man. So all music that I listen to should be something from God given to man. That's Psalms. And you'll find there are a lot of great songs that they pull out a phrase from the Psalms. Let's sing verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, they much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, they much fine gold. Sweeter also than
honey
and the
honey.
Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are
true.
Oh, yeah. And righteous altogether. Sing it. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, they much fine
gold.
Sweeter also than
honey
and the
honeycomb.
The reason it says speaking and making is you're to take a song like you would your clothes and adapt it to who you are. You can tell when somebody's performing versus singing and making melody because they try to mimic the antics of the group they heard sing the song. Rather than adopt the message of the song, go to the tailor factory of the Holy Spirit of God and tailor it to their spirit. And there is a big difference. That's why when you got up and sang, I'm on the winning side, you didn't sing it like Bill Burr. You didn't sing it like Curtis Hudson. You sung it what it meant to you. And that's why the crowd erupted. It's because Brother Bell said, what a great way to soak your spirit in. And Brother Bell, when you got up here and sang, once I drifted out in sin, I had no hope, no joy within. Yes. You didn't sing it like anybody but George Bell. Yep. And that's what God meant. Go to the store, pick you out some psalms and just tailor it to you. I tell the college students in college chapel, we'll sing it. Then I'll stop and say, look, on this last verse, add your own ditty. Add your own ditty. Everybody has a way you like to sing the song. And if you'll just add your own little ditty and get it out of your system. Amen. Just enjoy it. I'm telling you, there's no greater singing when just y'all add your own ditty. So let's sing verse 10 again, verse 9, and y'all add your own little ditty. Okay, I got my ditties, and because I have the mic, you're going to hear my ditties. You got it? Here we go. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. My ditty. The judgments of the Lord are true. Here's my ditty. And righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. That's my ditty. Much fine gold. My ditty. Sweeter also than honey. And the honeycomb. Now you soak in that. How could you not come out thankful? So a hymn, a psalms is God to man. A hymn, go to page 507 in your psalm book. A hymn is something that man wrote that is from man to God. So we have a lot of great artists. Elizabeth Combes, Brother Combes' daughter, wrote such, it's like our teenagers fell in love. Right now there's a fight over a couple songs. Elizabeth's groups are like, no, that's my song. No, I heard it first. Y'all shut up. Everybody sing it together and we'll be okay. You know, independent Baptists like to claim, no, that's our song and you can't sing it. Just makes me want to sing it for the sake of singing it. But I've got 4 minutes I need to be done. But a hymn, thank you, Brother Bell, I can't even get it out. A hymn is what man writes because they want God to know how man feels, and then we all get to sing the same song. 507 is just that. Are you ready? Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Enjoy it. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues of praise. The mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Verse 2 is found in the Bible. Ebenezer was when they fought through a battle. They had more battle to fight. The man of God stopped in the middle of the battle and said, we're going to stop right now and just say this. We made it this far. So he took Ebenezer and wrote it on a stone. I preached one morning on just the subject Ebenezer. And I took a stone. It's in my office. And I just raised it up. Amen. I said, we're not out of the battle yet, y'all. Praise God, we made it this far. Amen. We got our families intact. We got it this far. Yes, sir. Look at it. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come. Look at it. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his
precious blood.
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor.
Daily I'm constrained to be.
Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. How could you not be thankful? How could you not be submissive? You see, it's what you're soaking in, and it's who's singing it to you. And you take the fact that, God, I want you to be, I want to be filled with you. I'm going to release you in my life, and I'm going to make music. You make it and you speak it based on the music you hear and who sings it to you. And if the people who sing it to you and the music that is being sung don't make you produce the right kind of music. The last one is the spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are man to man about God. So it's songs that people write from man to man about God. And my shift was up 2 minutes ago, so let's end on this if you don't mind. Page 355. Oh, I hope God's doing a work in your heart. And I hope right now you'll make a point to get rid of some artists and get rid of some music. Soak in the right kind of music and see if your Sunday doesn't go much better.
Yes, sir.
355. This is man to man about God. Don't you love this? Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? And where shall its praise begin? And taking away my burden and setting my spirit free for the wonderful grace. Oh, yeah. It reaches. Come on, man. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, and broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it. Greater for than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His
name.
I promise you this. When you soak in the right kind of music for hours, which you do anyways, you won't have a hard time responding to preaching. But I'm afraid the preachers, as I back away from the holy desk, I'm afraid the preachers are in competition with the artists and the music you listen to. And it's an unfair fight. Because you're not helping us when we preach. You are making us fight the personalities in the music that is teaching you opposite of the Word of God. Would you please get in the same yoke with your pastors and preachers? And would you hold your artist and your music to the same standard that you hold your preachers to? May you be so convicted that you clean out your music. And the music you're making in your heart should only come from artists and people that reflect the Spirit of God that lives on the inside. Thank you for that.
Amen. Thank you very much.